Welcome to a distant future full of possibilities, where the enigmatic Florvans are humanity's alien best friends, and their gift of the quantum space drive allows starships to slip through the veiled dimension they call the Strange, as they visit distant planets and stars. Come along with the astral navigators and their Florvan counterparts as they explore the galaxy and build friendships that will change the course of history. The Strange is calling you. Welcome, friend-shaped entities, to episode 9 of the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I'm Katie Silverwings, author of the award-winning series of cozy, optimistic science fiction stories this podcast brings to you each week. I'm thrilled to be here with you in audio form to share the tales of strange space. As this episode airs, I'm in Jackson, Tennessee for the Jackson Comic Expo. If you're one of the lovely folks who've come to this podcast from my table at the Expo, I am delighted to have you here. Welcome! This week, we have the last 3 chapters from my debut novella, Feathered Friendship. This is the conclusion to Bernadette the Budgie's story, and I'm excited to be reading it for you today. Stick around after the chapters for some special announcements. Without any further delay, here's our final installment of Feathered Friendship, a Strange Space novella. Chapter 18. It's a longer while than Bernadette expected before Navy comes to the door of the conference room to say that the Florvan Council of Elders is ready to talk to the 3 of them. She rides in on Ciel's shoulder, since they're the ones serving as her presenter, although she's still somewhat concerned about Kobe and would much prefer to be on theirs, because she knows her sibling tends to feel more comfortable when she's perched there. All of the hologram projectors in the conference room are running now, creating a facsimile of tiered benches curving all around the far wall and up to the end of the table. Several dozen small translucent Florvan figures in robes similar to Navy's are arranged sitting in the tiers, while a larger pair of figures are shown in full body form at the base of the tiers, standing on the far end of the table from where Navy and Elder Celadon are sitting. There's an empty chair beside Navy, presumably intended for the still-absent Elder Guermion. Cobalt and Ciel come to stand at the head of the table between the 2 real elders in the room. Both make respectful half-bows to the group of projected figures, and then hold their upper hands clasped in front of their chests and lower pairs behind their backs. Bernadette settles for making a bow with her wings spread out before folding them back into their usual resting position. One of the 2 larger projected figures gestures towards them and begins to speak with a very formal tone.
The Council greets and recognizes you, Ciel Yervi, kitten of our elder Cloud Yarrell, and also to you, Cobalt Meriday, heart's kitten of Cerulean Mirrorwind and the line of our elder Celadon Torrival.
Cobalt and I thank the Council for welcoming us, eldest, Ciel replies with a polite nod of their head. We are honored to stand among you. Kobe nods as well, although they remain silent.
Your testimonies in the matter of the human Dr. Salzar Newman's recent experiments have been received and discussed by the Council at length. Have either of you anything more to say to us?
Yes, eldest, says Ciel. We do.
You may speak.
Ciel addresses the gathered elders first, relating again how they had been consulted regarding safety standards for the later stages of Mother's now-abandoned experiments after Bernadette fledged but had otherwise been uninvolved in the project, and, more importantly, of their firm belief that Bernadette herself is a sapient bird and how they had come to learn that. Kobe is next, and while Bernadette can hear the undercurrent of nervousness in their voice, they don't hesitate at all while they're explaining that they still believe Mother's research was underpinned by good intentions and theories, and that they were and are happy to be her assistant, even though the results of her work turned out so vastly different from what anyone had expected. Once both of them have finished talking, the eldest stands from their little holographic chair again.
The Council thanks you both for your statements. Now, as a resolution on this situation, based on the submitted testimonies of all concerned and on the recommendation of the elders who have overseen the discussion of the matter, the Council is now resolved that while the result of these experiments is remarkable, it is neither possible nor safe for us to allow them or any similar research to continue. Cobalt Meriday, we ask that you please relay this with the Council's regards to our friend Dr. Salzar Newman.
I understand, Eldest, thank you, Cobalt replies, keeping a level tone in their voice and making another small half-bow.
Our Elder Navy Irline has informed us that you also seek to make a presentation to us, C.L. Yervi,
asks the Eldest, taking on a curious tone underneath their air of formality. I do, Eldest, yes. C.L. holds their hand up so that Bernadette can flutter over to it and be held out for the recording devices to capture and project properly to all of the various elders wherever they happen to be. Bernadette spreads her wings out fully and makes a deeper bow before folding them back again. This is the feathered person known to me as Salzar Newman's Bernadette of the starship MSS Venture, C.L. says, with a more formal tone of voice even than they'd used when giving their statement earlier. I stand before you to present her to the Council of our Elders as a fellow child of the Strange, that her name may be known and remembered among our people. There's a slight murmur that runs among the smaller holographic elders, and then the eldest nods and taps the walking stick they're holding on the ground twice, silencing everyone.
The Council recognizes you, Salzar Newman's Bernadette. To whose line do you belong?
Bernadette glances back briefly to her sibling and then to Navy, who's sharing a look of some kind that she doesn't understand with Elder Saladin. She takes this to mean that none of them expected her to be asked this question either, so she does her best to come up with an appropriate answer based on what she's listened to Navy try to teach their kittens.
I am the chosen daughter of Dr. Ariadne Salzar Newman and Zoe, who is Elder Navy's navigator,
Bernadette says, and then gestures with one wing behind her.
And from my hatching, Cobalt Meriday has been my heart's sibling.
Bernadette pauses and tilts her head lightly to one side at the little holographic Florovan standing in front of her.
Is that sufficient, Eldest? I do know the names of my bird lineage, if the Council wishes to hear them, but they are not of my flock or my family.
The old Florovan stifles a chuckle and nods.
It is not a traditional answer, Salzar Newman's Bernadette, but the Council accepts it and will remember your line placement as you have named it. Whatever else we may feel individually regarding your origins, please understand that we are all agreed that you are welcome among us as a fellow child born of the Strange.
Thank you, Eldest,
Bernadette says, bobbing her head politely.
I am grateful to exist and be welcomed.
This, in the end, is it. Soon, Bernadette, C.L., and Cobalt are all once again outside the conference room. Well now, C.L. says, grinning and stretching their upper pair of arms. That went even more smoothly than I expected. Congratulations, Bernadette. It looks like the Council liked you.
That's good.
Bernadette preens an errant feather underneath her collar. You were lucky, Kobe tells her, finally seeming to relax. When kittens get presented and receive their public names, they have to recite as many of their ancestors in order as their parents been able to get them to memorize, and at the age where we get presented, most of us are still having to learn how sentences work in the first place. Which is more of a formality, of course, and they get a bit of coaching if they need it. C.L. shakes their head. Although I didn't think they'd ask you, Bernadette, but you got the answer right anyway. At least, you got it as close as someone who isn't Florovan could answer.
I'm glad you think so.
Bernadette flutters her wings proudly.
Thank you both for coming with me.
So, says Ciel, we have a few hours now, most likely before the elders are done with their business. There's a nice cafe here on the station near a balcony that overlooks the main plaza level. What say we ping the navigators to come join us for some triumphant snacks while we wait?
And Mother and the Kittens?
Asks Bernadette, flicking out her personal holoscreen to start tapping out the messages. Naturally, Ciel laughs and leads the way down the appropriate corridor. This is a family triumph day, after all. Chapter 19. Later that day, Bernadette finds herself perched in the middle of a pair of pushed-together tables near the balcony Ciel had mentioned, surrounded by all of her favorite people. The three human members of her flock had come to join them soon after they first reached the cafe, and now Navy has finally arrived to complete the set and take custody back of their offspring. The other two elders have joined the group as well while they wait for their own navigators to appear from whatever errands they've been running elsewhere on the station. So? Asks Zoe, sipping her coffee slowly now that she's no longer having to focus on keeping overly curious kittens out of it. Did the council meeting go well, then?
Better than usual, believe it or not.
Navy shares a conspiratorial sort of expression with Elders Celadon and Guermion. Miss Bernadette's presentation went well, too, as far as the council is concerned, adds Elder Guermion, gesturing with one of their upper pair of deep indigo-shaded hands. I'm a bit disappointed still that I wasn't able to be there for that, of course, but I heard nothing but good things about it. I knew they'd like you, Bernie, Mother maintains her triumphant mood, although it's clearly tempered a bit by the news she'd received earlier. Now all we have to do is get a single planet to actually accept all of the paperwork we've been trying to file and grant you citizenship so that you're acknowledged as a person under human laws.
Don't let yourself worry too much, Ariadne, says Elder Celadon with a practiced cryptic tone, gesturing back towards the cafe entrance.
I doubt you'll have to wait that long. That's your captain and his protocol officer now, isn't it, Navy? Or has it been too long since I've spoken to the man and my ears are deceiving me?
Oh?
Navy looks up from the trio of energetic little silver-furred creatures they're trying to settle down and towards the two approaching figures. They nod. No, you're right, Celadon, that's him. My captain does have a remarkable sense of timing, doesn't he? Once the two men have made the appropriate round of greetings and introductions, the captain looks curiously to Navy.
So, pleasantries and promises of the best coffee on the station aside, your ping mentioned you needed us as witnesses, but I'll admit I'm intrigued as to what might have gone on with the rest of your elders that you need any.
It's less what happened than what's about to happen, Captain Hahnemann, says Elder Celadon with a hint of a wry smile, which is part of why Guermion and I are here too, aside from the pleasant company. All of the humans take on the same sort of perplexedly curious look. Even Bernadette has no idea what they're talking about now.
I do believe the time is right at that, Navy, says Elder Guermion, looking around at the other tables.
There's a good number of people about who aren't part of our group and can be public witnesses now, too. Navy nods and gets up from their chair, passing their kittens to Zoe and then smoothing out and readjusting their robes. That done, they take on an even more smoothly elegant posture than usual, now looking every bit as impressive and official standing there as the little hologram of the eldest had. Bernadette, Navy says, holding out both of their upper hands together like a platform, would you join me here for a moment? Bernadette, ever the curious bird, flutters over and lands on their hands.
Yes, Navy?
Having consulted the rest of our Council of Elders, Navy begins taking on their most formal voice and pitching it in such a way that anyone nearby could likely hear and understand what they're saying. And, in accordance with the determinations they have made regarding you, Salzar Newman's Bernadette of the Starship Venture, Child of the Strange, and by my own choosing,
Navy lifts their hands to raise her up and gently presses their forehead to Bernadette's own. I mark you now in the presence of these witnesses and before any who would have reason to know, as a member of my household and a chosen daughter of my line, that any of my people who meet you may know that you have a place among us. For the barest fraction of a moment, Bernadette thinks she feels the familiar static-like sensation of all of her feathers being ruffled at once, and then it's gone. When Navy lowers her back down so she can look them in the eyes, they're smiling. Bernadette isn't entirely sure what this bit of ceremony is truly about, but she understands that it means that Navy is wanting to be counted among her adoptive parents along with Mother and Zoe. Since they're being formal, she decides she needs to be formal too.
Thank you, Elder Navy,
Bernadette says, projecting her voice at a similar tone and volume to theirs.
I am honored to be so marked.
Lovely, says Elder Saladin, clapping lightly with both pairs of hands. And now I have the delightful task of pinging the eldest to let them know that everything is all official and can be passed on to our archivists. Navy sits back down with a chuckle and lets Bernadette step back from their hands onto the table near the dish of fruits she'd been sharing with Mother. And that's the end of me being official for the day. Do me a favor, though, Saladin, forward the account of that to Lieutenant Timms here. I think it's precisely what he needed to add to Bernadette's files so we can be done with the sea of paperwork that's been drowning my household of late. I think that'll cover it, yes. Lieutenant Timms looks even more stunned than usual. Forgive me if I may need to ask you later to help me parse how Florvan legal precedent interacts with Coalition interstellar standards.
And forgive me, old friend,
says the captain, sounding equal parts amused and curious. But what does all of that mean?
I don't think I've heard you use your elder voice like that since these two rascals of yours got hitched.
It's pretty simple, Elder Guermion explains, since Navy's taken that moment to sip from their tea and at the same time try to keep one of the kittens from accidentally knocking it out of their hands. That's what a proper line adoption looks like. As far as our council is concerned, Miss Bernadette is legally a part of Navy's family now. And, Elder Saladin adds with an all-too-pleased grin, between that and her having been presented to the council formally, it makes Miss Bernadette here a Florvan citizen. They turn to Timms with a chuckle. You'll find when you look through the precedents that our autonomy overrides anything that might be done under human law to claim she isn't anything but a person deserving of all the rights and protections any of us has. Mother stands and comes over to Navy's side of the table and hugs them before anyone else can say something. Thank you, Navy, she says. Really. I don't know why none of us thought of that before. I didn't even know you could do that. Well, Airy, Navy replies, patting Mother on the head the same way they do the kittens. You've all been a bit focused on getting human authorities to recognize her. Forgive me, but I'm a bit too impatient to wait while every planet in the seven systems has the chance to turn you down. Bernadette, newly minted legal person and Florvan citizen that she is, excitedly flies up to Navy's shoulder and affectionately nudges their cheek with her head.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, Bernadette. The three kittens take this moment to notice that Bernadette is perching in a place that's within their reach. They abandon their game of pestering Freiburg for bits of his croissant in favor of scampering over and up their parents' arms to join her on their shoulder. Chirps! Squeaks the most outgoing of the kittens, lightly wrapping both pairs of arms around Bernadette before she can think to fly away.
Hello, Ilril.
Bernadette giggles, stretching out her wings to encourage the kitten to loosen their grip.
Please don't squeeze so tight. I do need to breathe, you know.
Playtime chirps? Asks the second kitten, Irvi, also joining the hug enthusiastically. Oh, now, kittens, says Navy, laughing and gently nudging the two kittens off of her. What have I told you about respecting poor Bernadette's personal space? She may be your big sister now, but you still can't all pile on top of her like this. Sister, repeats Ilvin, who seems to be otherwise content with simply sitting next to Bernadette without trying to touch her, since they still haven't grown out of their mild fear of being pecked by anyone with feathers. They look up to their parent with the widest-eyed expression they can muster. Sibling, Navy replies, but female. They tack on a gentle trilling chirrup sound onto the end of the explanation, as they often do when trying to teach words to the kittens. The three kittens look to each other, then between Bernadette and Navy. All at once, they start squeaking excitedly until they seem to come to some sort of a consensus. Shiny sister, the kittens say as a chorus, and then manage to hold themselves back from trying to hug her again in favor of one by one giving her an affectionate nuzzle. Just wait until you meet the rest of the family, Zoe quips, offering their hand as a perch for Bernadette to step to so she can escape the adorable smothering. You've got 7 older sibs, too, but luckily they've all grown out of hugging people without permission for the most part.
This flock is bigger than I thought.
Bernadette laughs and then flutters over to her usual perch on Kobe's shoulder. She nudges their cheek with her head.
You're still my favorite sibling, though.
Kobe smiles and reaches up to lightly stroke her feathers. I didn't doubt that for a minute, Bernadette. Chapter 20. Several months later, the young budgerigar, commonly known as Bernadette Venture, finds herself in one of the less crowded waiting areas of Earth's lunar orbital complex near the airlock where the starship that has given her her surname is docked.
Are you sure you remembered to pack everything?
Bernadette asks, perched on top of a duffel bag in the chair next to where Cobalt and her human parents are standing.
If you've left anything on the ship, the kittens might not let you have it back.
I have everything that matters, Bernadette, Cobalt replies, chuckling. You're just as bad when it comes to worrying about me as any of your parents, you know. I've lost count of how many times already I've been asked of that today. Well, what can we say, Kobe? Quips Dr. Salzar Newman, ruffling her now former assistant's hair. We've all gotten pretty fond of having you around. We are, Zoe agrees. They smile. You'll be missed, kid. Thank you, says Cobalt. I'll miss all of you, too. Bernadette flutters up and lands on Cobalt's shoulder.
You'll remember to send us all sorts of messages and pictures from the Academy, won't you?
Enough that you'll get sick of hearing from me, little sister. Cobalt pats the budgie's head with a touch of a laugh. But you'll see me again soon enough. I'd wager it'll only take you a year or two to catch up and get in here for the command track, the way you're speeding through your lessons. And stars help the Academy administration if they don't let her try, says Navy, finally returning from the talk they've been having in a nearby meeting room with Cobalt's parent and their navigator. Because knowing my little feathered heart's daughter, she's liable to find a way to sneak herself in anyway just to spite them for underestimating her.
I would, too,
Bernadette agrees.
But it's more fun to try to earn a place on the command track the same way a human student would.
Well now, says Cobalt's parent, Cerulean Mirrorwind. They pick up the 2 duffel bags from the chair and hand them to their navigator, a pale balding man with a salt and sand beard known as Julian Potts. We can leave just about any time since we have our own mini-shuttle to take down, courtesy of the tactical flight program. But I believe Venture's scheduled to depart in an hour. They won't be leaving without us, Cerulean, Zoe comments with a light laugh. At least, not if Hans and Cece know what's good for them and don't want to be kitten-sitting for the next 6 months. Your poor secondaries certainly don't deserve that. I've only ever had 1 little silver rascal to deal with at a time, and it was practically impossible to keep either of them out of trouble for more than 5 minutes. Potts shakes his head sagely, doing his best not to laugh. His eyes glance meaningfully, first to Cerulean and then to Cobalt. I don't know how you do it, Navy. Parental instinct and a lot of practice, Julian, Navy chuckles. And thankfully, a ship full of people who like kittens enough to help me with them. That being said, we should probably let you get back to them. Cerulean nudges their navigator with the tuft at the tip of their long, prehensile tail, and then looks back to Cobalt. Are you ready to go, Kobe? Yes, I think so, Nita. Cobalt nods, albeit with some reluctance coloring their voice. I've been saying so many goodbyes lately, I'm kind of glad we waited for these until now. The young soon-to-be cadet shares a brief but affectionate hand squeeze as part of their exchange of goodbyes with both Navy and Zoe. When they come to Dr. Salzar Newman, they start to do the same, then somewhat impulsively wrap all four of their arms around her in a genuine hug. Thank you, Cobalt whispers to her, for all the things, really, and for my little sister. After a long moment, they let go and stand a bit sheepishly there in front of her. Take care of yourself, Kobe. Dr. Salzar Newman reaches out one last time and ruffles the now nearly shoulder-length mess of Cobalt's silver hair. You'll always have a place on my team waiting for you if you get sick of Academy formality. Cobalt nods, and then gives the little bird still sitting on their shoulder a light stroking of her head feathers. I'll see you again soon, Bernadette, they say. Okay?
You will.
Bernadette replies.
And I will miss you until then, Kobe.
And I you, little sister. With that, soon both little families have parted ways. Cobalt's to make their way down to Earth and the Seoul Central Space Service Academy to begin the next era of their life, and Bernadette's to the Starship Venture, soon to depart on its next round of journeying between planets and stars. And yet, as is often the case at such partings, the two oddly paired siblings have no doubt that their lives will someday take paths which will lead them back together. The End.
And that's that. I hope you've enjoyed Feathered Friendship, a Strange Space Novella. This book is dear to my heart not only because it was the first story I published, but because Bernadette and Cobalt are two of my all-time favorite characters who've found their way into my life. If you'd like your own copy of Feathered Friendship to have on your bookshelf, you can find it through most major online booksellers, including my favorite, bookshop.org. Even better, if you'd like a signed first edition paperback, those are available direct from me through the store on my website, www.katiesilverwings.com. As a special celebration of the end of Season 1 of the Strange Space Adventures podcast, I'll be tucking in one of my shiny Strange Space stickers with every signed Feathered Friendship paperback I send out from now through the end of March. Next week will be our final episode of Season 1. It's the special Q&A episode for the season, featuring questions collected from members of the Strange Space fan club, folks who've stopped by my table at the Jackson Comic Expo, and podcast listeners like you. If you have a question for me, or my characters, be sure to email it to katiesilverwings@gmail.com so I can include it in my ongoing pool of questions. Now for another special announcement. Next weekend, when our final episode of the season drops on Saturday, March 8th, I'll be in Brownsville, Tennessee for Haywood County Comic Con. If you're in the area and enjoy friendly regional comic and fandom gatherings, this is a great multi-day event for the whole family. Be sure to come by my table and say hi. You can't miss me. I'm the one with all of the galaxy tablecloths and Feathered Friendship's cover displayed proudly behind the table. I'll have copies of both Feathered Friendship and all of my other Strange Space books available, as well as a host of other book merch and a selection of my lead-free stained glass sun catchers. Of course, if you can't make it to Brownsville to see me this time, that's okay. I do have all of the shiny things available in my website store. There's also a calendar of my other upcoming events on the website if you'd like to see where else you can meet me and acquire signed copies of my books this year. As always, if you've enjoyed the show, please leave a comment or review on your podcast source of choice. Reviews and recommendations are the best way to help grow the show so I can continue bringing you more and better stories each week. Be sure to subscribe, too, so you don't miss the next episode. If you'd like to support this podcast and all of my other ongoing projects in the Strange Space universe, you can join the Strange Space Fan Club. It's free to join and gets you access to perks like the Strange Space Encyclopedia, chapter transcripts, and the official fan club newsletter. At higher tiers, you can also access the full archive of Strange Space stories on my website, receive exclusive fan club merch, and more. You'll find the link to join in the show notes. Thank you so much to all of my existing fan club members, especially Astral Navigator tier member Sharon T. Hinton and long-running space adventurer Tabitha. I am deeply grateful to all of my fan club members for making this podcast possible. Thanks again for joining me today on the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I hope your week ahead is filled with opportunities and joy. This is Katie Silverwings wishing you the best the galaxy has to offer. Stay shiny!
The Strange Space Adventures podcast is brought to you by Pep Talk Productions, LLC. Strange Space is a trademark of Katie Silverwings, LLC, and all content of this podcast is copyright 2025 to Katie Silverwings. For more information on Katie Silverwings, Strange Space Adventures, and this season's story, visit www.katiesilverwings.com.